Hello, and welcome to Iacon Underground Radio for early August 2025. I am Jen.
And I'm David, still with a sore throat for some
reason. That's rough. Though I guess you're getting the Canadian wildfire smoke up there.
Whatever flu or sore throat that started a week after TFCon has gone away, but the after effects of the sore throat come and go between the wildfire smoke. I don't know, maybe my neighbors are starting to burn some shit because it's getting colder at night.
Fire. Fire.
Or some, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or, mate, well, I have been outside more and it's mowing season and just pollen and everything is changing. My throat soreness has been going up and down, and today is a rougher day for some reason. Well, also because I can't talk that loud currently because of the sore throat, but every once in a while I have to shout to somebody, or like my dad who's hard of hearing.
Do you have to yell at the cats?
No, I have to repeat myself louder, but to get louder, I'm basically shouting, and that agitates my throat.
That's rough.
Yeah, so I have like a day when it my voice evens out, and then I have to shout, and then we got today again.
But it's not COVID.
I tested for COVID like when I was at the sickest, and nothing.
So it's not COVID. So
no,
you'll be fine. You'll get there.
I know, I'm basically fine. I just sound like shit.
Well, fortunately, we don't have a whole lot to talk about this time.
Good.
We're just kind of staying on schedule at this point because, oh my goodness, it's like a whole lot of nothing. I guess we are at the sort of post-SDCC lull because the news has been newsed and everybody's heard what they need to hear and been told what they need to be told. I'm gonna...
And, like, Hasbro's focusing on other things, and, like, didn't the Snow Cat from G.I. Joe get funded or something or other?
It did. It eked its way over the finish line. Yeah. So that is good for them. I mean, it's cool. It's not something that...
Yeah, well, yes. Now give us the actual good, important Snow Cat.
Make the one that turns into a robot next.
Yeah. Or, was it Cyclonus before he became Snowcat, right?
Who knows? I mean, the wiki knows. Like, people literally know. Who knows?
I just forgotten that a lot about that.
I
trilogy.
Think so. Or was it Demolisher?
No, Demolisher is the tank thingy, APC, whatever.
Right. So you would think that he would have gotten turned into the ground vehicle.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's, no, I think it was the other.
We are probably thinking harder about this than even the people working on Energon thought about this.
Yeah. Oh, no, Demolisher got turned into a dump truck. I don't remember if he got a rename.
Man, I should rewatch that stuff at some point.
Maybe.
But, yes, anyway. So that did get funded. We have some exciting, for the big spenders in the audience, we have gotten a much better look at the new, the Adamus Machina Predaking. Which, yeah, I was wondering, I mean, I guess I shouldn't have been wondering, because the whole point, like, the Rodimus they did is the Flame Toys design, but he does transform. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised that he comes apart into the separate Predacons, but I was actually kind of surprised that he comes apart into the separate Predacons.
A little bit. Well, the Predaking looks so much like Predaking. Like, not exactly spot on to
so
the
pointy
Ox design animation, but he's very much in that style.
Definitely, if you go back to G1 and watch Call of the Primitives, this is a pointy king. A pointy Predaking.
Yeah, but just that he splits apart into little guys. The animals look okay, but the robot mode's not quite what I would hope for. Well, everything's been sacrificed to make Predaking look awesome.
Yeah, that's the individual Predacon robot modes are probably the least priority for that design.
Especially Razor Claw.
Poor guy. Ew.
Well, the robot mode alone doesn't... Well, the arms are tiny, but their G1 one had stumpy, weird little arms. The problem I have is that he's so tall, the other guys don't even come up to his crotch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's way too fucking big.
That is incorrect.
Which, please, Hasbro, if you do your own Predaking, which you probably will do again at some point, have a sixth dude in there somewhere. Like, have a mammoth become a large chunk of the torso, or a gorilla, or anything.
Just add a buddy in there somewhere. Give him a friend. Give him a new friend. It's absolutely not unheard of to introduce new combiner members at this stage of the game.
Yeah, because Devastator's got, like, well, it's not a whole new dude, but it's like an extra trailer they added.
So, yeah, there are new pictures of that. Also, from TF Nation, there's been a lot of talk about one of the panels there that showed off from Jim Sorensen and Chris McFeely's panel, showing off an early Transformers draft, one of the earliest pitches to CBS. I haven't looked over this a whole lot. The takeaway that I've gotten from our friends is that Megatron was already a sticking point if they were going to do it through the network and not syndicated.
Hmm.
Because they were already like, that's too realistic a gun. Also, Sideswipe was a girl and had big unrequited feelings for Optimus Prime.
Weird. Like, I think it's, like, I didn't read the whole thing, but it seems like it was, like, a design after the Muffy thing that was suggested.
Right.
But not fully Transformers. Like, it's half the Muffy setup with some new complications added.
It is really interesting historically that there were so many, like, attempts to make this work, and there were so many, like,
yeah,
the whole thing about Turbo Teen being inspired by somebody having pitched for the Transformers cartoon and taking what they had come up with to do that horrifying monstrosity of a series.
Yeah, I guess that sort of makes sense that was an offshoot of the Muffy thing. Ugh. It's just like
is the appropriate response to Turbo Teen.
My main issue with it is that, oh, it's got new cool art that looks as close as they could do to look like it was 1984 art, which means somebody's going to believe this shit existed in 1984, like their previous thing with the alternate movie script.
Well, which
it was just like the version one of the movie
script. People should read things. People should pay more attention.
But
if you would like to read things... this is all posted now on Simon Lech's Sunbow Marvel Archive, which is a blog that has just absolutely profound. I think a few years ago, there was some Inhumanoids production material for the show that ended up on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he got a hold of that.
Extra season stuff.
And yeah, so there is some really super fun, amazing historical stuff on that. That is Sunbow Marvel Archive, all one word, .blogspot.com. But yeah, it's I don't know that I'm like, oh, well, this is what we could have had, because they're generally kind of weird and not, like, there's a reason those were not the versions that they went ahead with.
Yeah, because, like, the new designs that they came up with look way better than they probably actually would have looked like at the time.
Yeah. So, but it did start off with a teenager accidentally purchasing Bumblebee. So.
Yeah, and like, the Decepticons are just like ghosts that inhabit machines and bring them to life.
Yeah, it kind of Scientology vibes.
Yeah, a little bit Scientology, a little bit like the Ghostbusters. Not the real Ghostbusters, the Ghostbusters cartoon.
Yeah, and there was a lot of like Decepticons as Monster of the Week kind of vibes because the people working on it were not accustomed to having a story where you've got persistent villains because the villain characters have to are toys that you need to sell and they need to continue being characters in the series and not just get one episode because that's not gonna sell your toy. Whereas these days they just do that and then just don't make most of the toys, which is sad and disappointing. I'm looking at you, RID 2015. But yeah, it's a good website with a lot of interesting stuff, and this is certainly, I guess it's kind of like the bad version of look at what we could have had. It's like, look at how much worse it could have been.
It doesn't seem like as wacky as the Muffy thing. It's just, it's weird.
Yeah. It's weird, but
it's weird in a way that if this had come out against the GoBots, GoBots would have won.
Hey, when GoBots was on, I was absolutely on board with GoBots as a kid.
I mean, I was watching it too.
So,
but at the time, it was like it's the also ran. Transformers is a little bit more polished,
right? And I mean, certainly once Transformers came on, and I don't think I caught it airing until the second season, but, you know, once Transformers was out there, it definitely overtook GoBots. But yeah, I could definitely see GoBots being the big Michael Bay production for 2007 in this alternate universe.
Wow, what would a movie Psy-Kill have turned into? You can't have a tiny motorcycle be the villain. The main lead.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you can if everybody's just kind of small. Would he still have his face
jet
in the front? Would he? Well, no, because Leader One is a fighter jet.
Yes, that's your problem. Leader One's a fighter jet. So you need a villain, main villain, who's going to be as big as a fighter jet.
You can't just have Leader One being
just stepping on
the main character of something that's significant because you need a leader who's a little more grounded.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm making dad jokes tonight. I don't. Yeah, that's about all the news that we have.
Yeah, there's very we're rambling because
it's a really, really light news week.
There's like some minor third party stuff. It's like just trying to look at news. It's like nothing happened after STCC.
Like, wow.
People are just
nothing's a whole lot of nothing going on. So shipping news. Perceptor seems to be hitting a little more in more significant numbers. I was out at a couple Targets today, and both of them had a couple of them on the shelf, so...
Oh, yeah, I've seen... What if I saw Perceptors... I saw some... What's it? Cyber World? Is that the new... I forget the name of the new cartoon.
Oh, yeah, I saw the little Cyber Shark, or Skybite from that.
Yeah, I haven't seen Skybite. I've seen, was it the Optimus? There's the Megatron. They're so tiny.
They are.
They're $10, but they're itty-bitty. It's
they're
like,
just little toys. They're definitely, like, core class type.
Yeah.
Little dudes.
It just seems so small, because I thought about getting the Megatron, but then I saw him in person. It's like, he's so tiny.
He's just a little thing.
He's a little fella. Oh. So I didn't pick that up. I saw a Grimlock this week, and the Scorponok, which I was tempted by, but he's $60.
It does look like stores are starting that like pre-Christmas lead up reset now.
They're reshuffling
a lot of stuff
here
got clearanced out, and now they're starting to bring that stuff in. I saw a bunch of the Devastation 2-pack, which I mentioned was starting to show up. That's hitting a little more thoroughly now.
Yeah,
lots of the Sonic and Tails around here.
Yeah, those are oddly shelf-warming.
It looks like they just ordered piles of them for some reason.
Yeah.
Some furry on their buying team, I don't know.
ass.
So, also, according to the internet, I have not seen this in person yet. Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, on the internet.
But the Cybertron, Exelion, and Sideways are showing up at Walmart. Those are the Walmart exclusive ones.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been to Walmart in... Have I been to Walmart since I got back from DEFCON? I don't think so.
I had to...
Just gone to Target.
I just keep, like, checking toys when I'm buying supplies and stuff, so...
Well, I haven't had to buy any
Walmart
supplies.
Oh, my God, Benjamin, calm down, please. Then, I think he noticed that Maddie was on the desk and decided to... get mad about it.
Aww.
You can edit that out. Nobody needs to hear Benjen being a jerk. So I have not seen those on the shelf myself, so they are just starting to show up. Your mileage may vary on whether you actually find them when you go out. I don't know how well those are going to stick around, if that's something that you really need to grab it when it gets there, or if that's something that's going to be, you know, sitting there for a bit.
Well, yeah, again, that varies by your store.
Yeah. But, well, also it varies on how many Walmart orders. So apparently, I have heard, a lot of people did get their Sideways orders canceled.
Oh.
And apparently part of that may be... So Walmart apparently, or I don't know if Hasbro did this, somebody printed the SKU code for an individual item on the shipping box. So some people who ordered Sideways and did get him got an entire case of Sideways.
Oh my God.
They were charged for one. But they got, like, a bunch. Got, like a solid shipping case.
Oh, dear. If you happen to have one of these extra boxes and care to send us a Sideways, we'll accept it.
So...
I wasn't planning on getting a Sideways, but if somebody wants to send me one just for the price of shipping, I'll take it.
Somebody needs to get rid of them, get them out of the house. But yeah, there was somebody, I think, on the RFC Discord who that actually happened to. And there were a handful of other reports of that. But also, some people have reported that they just received him as normal. So hopefully hopefully they'll settle down and everybody who wants that Sideways is going to be able to get one. The Wave with Sea Spray has been showing up. Sea Spray and another guy nobody cares about. That's not fair. I know people who care about Brawn a lot. It's just one person. I know one person.
Compared to Sea Spray, I mean, people used to care about Brawn. Long ago. Now, Sea Spray's the fun one. He's weird.
People just cared about Braun because it was a meme that he couldn't have how been killed died. By getting shot in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And how that was bullshit, and obviously he was not dead.
Whereas Sea Spray got a much more fun focus episode.
And he had a fun voice, and...
Yeah. Oh, where was the... thing. Oh,
he's a hovercraft, which, as we have learned from watching Rescue Bots Academy, is an objectively excellent alt mode that one should use at all opportunities.
I think it was Cypher that brought it up. He was taking photographs of Beachcomber, and he noticed that he looked like the one Muppet with, like, just add, like, a yellow nose to Beachcomber, and he's one of the Muppets in the band.
Yeah.
And then when he was doing that video, he matched every other microbot to a member of the band. And they line up really well.
Nice.
I forget which one Sea Spray was. Was Sea Spray? No, Sea Spray wasn't.
If I'm ever watching a video, I could watch that. I don't watch videos.
Like, I think whoever lined up with Janice was a little odd, but it worked.
So, yeah, that's, I have seen a little more of Silverbolt showing up in stores. I actually saw one at a GameStop.
Yeah, I did see him. I saw him in there, but also, like, I pre-ordered him online, and he's already shipped, so I didn't pick him up in store. I only saw one in store, though.
Yeah. I saw him at Target one time, and then I saw him at a GameStop. And I did see the...
I haven't been to GameStop in forever.
The Commander class set of the Constructicons.
Yeah.
That was on the shelf at Target this weekend. So, it's, honestly, I'm not used to seeing this much Commander class stuff on shelves. So, yeah, I don't know if just a change in the market or what's going on.
Yeah, I don't... Oh, maybe I don't see that many. Well, the thing is, most of the time when I see this stuff that size, it's at Target, but it's like the Target exclusive thing.
Yeah, and that's, of course, they're going to get
like
those.
Like the Optimus Prime that comes with the little dog.
Don't throw that. It's a Bolliard. It's concrete.
Oh, I love that box art.
It is. That is pretty great. Even if we are back to enforcing the idea that Ravage is a dog.
Well, no, because it is a redeco of Ravage, but it's as a dog. And admittedly, that mold does look more like the Target dog than a cat.
He's a cat. Anyway, so yeah, that is about it. Once again, not a whole lot going on.
Yeah, no, like I've gotten, my Seeker and Ground Soldier, that pack came in for me. Kardivak and Fissitron Iron Fist came in, which I just opened, and I finally have an Iron Fist that looks like Iron Fist. He's so good.
Yay!
I was like, yeah, not much really. I still have some things from TFCon I haven't opened.
That does seem a good set.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because the Kardivak, the head, is new molded, so he's got a smirk on. It's good.
Ooh, yes. Need more expressions.
Yeah. Yes.
Hasbro, please. I forget. It was probably on RFC or something, but someone referred to resting bot face. No, it was on one of the Hasbro streams.
Yeah, because they were talking about the Seekers. The new Seekers are going to get like three different faces.
Yes, so they don't all have resting bot face.
Yeah,
I think that's a very good description for the default. Extremely medium expression.
I mean, that's fine for a lot of guys, kind of. But the problem is, like, you're doing so many G1 guys who smirk or do weird things. It's like, Starscream needs to smirk, and so should the rest of the Seekers in some kind.
If Starscream's expression does not make you want to smack him, you have done Starscream wrong.
You have failed, yeah.
Are we ready already?
If you're ready, my throat's worn out, but you're going to be doing most of the talking for this one.
I'm always ready. Hi, my name is Jen, and I'm here to tell you about the Micronauts.
Yes, a recent development in a thing we thought was dead, but it heard rumors that two full seasons had been written and animated, and everybody's like, wait, what?
Yes.
And then that just kind of faded away, because that happened. No, yeah, because the dates on the things are like 2018?
Yeah. I think the...
Or at least that's when it started.
The Hasbro Do Not Upload copyright stuff said 2019.
Okay.
I believe that production wrapped at the end in early 2020. Just before COVID.
Yes, that's the crazy part of this story. Because it's like, okay, it's weird enough that, okay, we have a finished series of two seasons that we're stashing away. Warner Brothers has done crazier shit than that. This isn't Warner Brothers, but it's like, stupid things like that do happen. But that this was finished right before COVID, when everybody was fucking home and needed a lot of content to watch. Why the hell wasn't this thrown up on any streaming service?
They were just like, eh. So, backstory. I should give backstory because not everybody is this far into the weeds. So in the late 70s, the toy company Mego, best known for those cloth goods wearing 8-inch-ish action figures of pretty much everything.
Less than a foot.
Yeah, I think 8-inch. I had a Mego Punch in high school because I think probably Wizard magazine made a big joke about Mego Punch, and I found one cheap at a comic shop that also had toys. But the important thing is, they, before Hasbro did a similar thing, they worked with Takara to license part of the Microman toy line, but instead of going to the tape players that turn into robots, they went to the little, basically the 3¾ scale action figures.
Yeah, there's a long, strange tale between things going back and forth with Microman, G.I. Joe, Transformers. Watch a couple episodes of The Toys That Made Us that will explain that nonsense.
Yeah,
because, in the back and forth.
Yeah, there was Henshin Cyborg, which was based on Hasbro's G.I. Joe engineering, the 12-inch G.I. Joes.
Yes, and then they and made then those them smaller because it was cheaper.
Yes, those got shrunk to Microman.
Yeah, because the oil crisis or something or other.
And then Mego brought over Microman as Micronauts, and they worked with Marvel. This was one of the early attempts at, well, not attempts, it was super successful as it turned out, just not really for Mego. But they worked with Hasbro to get a toy line, to get a comic tie-in and get all the fiction written out. Similarly, around the same time, Parker Brothers was doing the same thing with their ROM Space Knight toy. And I think Shogun Warriors, or not Shogun Warriors,
well, yeah,
is it Shogun Warriors? No, for some reason I was thinking, what's that one from the 90s? Ronin Warriors. Okay. Shogun Warriors is the correct one. I thought that I was...
All right, Shogun Warriors was the toy line.
I thought Ronin I was Warriors incorrectly referencing Ronin Warriors. But no, yeah. Shogun Warriors was the one from the late 70s. The Godaiken stuff. Hmm. Bandai, Popey, Godaiken, all that.
Godzilla that shoots his rocket fist off.
And at the time, and this was a lesson that Marvel got away from pretty early on in Transformers, though not before issue 3. At the time, Marvel was having these stories be in what we these days, I guess at the time it had been maybe established. I have just realized how much Captain Britain is on Marvel Unlimited as of now, and I've started reading through it because that is where the concept of the multiverse came from. And that was where it first established that the primary Marvel universe is 616. So ROM and the Micronauts and all were written into the 616, and the Shogun Warriors were written into the 616. That eventually became really complicated, but also Mego went out of business while Marvel was still doing this extremely successful comic series by Bill Mantlo, who also worked on ROM Space Knight. And the comic continued on for a while, even after Mego was no longer in business. Much like ROM Space Knight, which was a toy line that had one toy, and yet several years of comic stories. But yeah, Hasbro learned that lesson just a little bit into Transformers. Started out in the 616 briefly, but then took a little side turn before they had a proper ongoing. So anyway, of course, Mego went out of business. Parker Brothers ended up... Is Parker Brothers the one that got bought by Hasbro?
I think so.
So they got ROM as part of that. The rights to Micronauts sort of bounced around for a while, but the thing is, the rights to Micronauts could never actually include the specific Marvel characters. Hmm. So there was a whole cast of characters in the Micronauts stores. It's like if you were allowed to do Transformers, but you couldn't use Optimus Prime, but you could have a guy who kind of looks like Optimus Prime. You could have a guy based on Optimus Prime's toy, but he couldn't be Optimus Prime.
In other words, you would have a series starring Thunderclash.
Yeah. Yes. But it could still, you know, have... Also,
just bought a Thunderclash comic that was... The physical version came out at TF Nation, which was this past weekend. I bought the digital version, and I've started reading it. It's real pretty.
I need to get that. I got the last two of those, and I just need to sit down and go on coffee and get that.
Yeah, it's 80 pages long. It's an 80-page giant of a comic.
Yay!
You get a lot of bang for your buck.
So also...
Well, for your pound.
For a point of reference to people not familiar with all that stuff, but familiar with the MCU, the Quantum Realm from Ant-Man Quantumania is basically a rename of the Microverse from the Micronauts comic.
It entirely is. To the point that, like, there were some weirdos in the background we see at that one village that are kind of like, scrub the numbers off of the characters. Or at least of, what is it? Now, who's the bug guy?
Bug?
Oh, Bug. Yes, there was a guy who was like Bug in the Microverse. Or Quantumania movie.
So that is worth keeping in mind, because eventually over time there were some indie toy companies in the aughts that tried to relaunch it, and like Palisades tried to do a line, and there were huge QC issues that basically tanked Palisades. And I'm sure at the time it also does not help that this was the time when there were a lot of stores that were like movie and music stores, but also carried a lot of like adult collectible toys started going under, and places like Borders that carried that stuff started going under. So yeah, there were a couple different attempts to relaunch it. There's Microman relaunch in Japan during the aughts.
Yeah, there's been a few of them. There's a was it the aughts, or was it a late 90s anime?
It could have been. Yeah. I do have a Rei Ayanami from...
Oh, yeah.
I also have Guy and Swan White.
Yeah, and was it them?
Mikoto from Gal Gaigar.
Maybe it was Microman that had, like, Godzilla, like you have the Microman inside the Godzilla costume.
There was a little guy who had came with a rubber costume. So yeah, there was a lot of fun Microman stuff there for a while. But eventually Hasbro did manage to pick up the rights. I don't know if there is a public record of when exactly that happened. So also, again, they got the rights to ROM Space Knight. And then in the late 20-teens, I think Daryl Dupree was a big force behind trying to do this. Like, they got this huge idea. They were going to do the Hasbro Cinematic Universe. So they lined up a Micronauts movie, and that was when the IDW comics started the whole, like, Phase 3 revolution stuff. So you got the ROM comics, you got the G.I. Joe stuff that tied into Transformers, you had the Visionaries, the Transformers Visionaries story, which I mostly... All the racist people come out and complain about them turning Leoric black, which was a great redesign. My problem is that they made Sindar smart. And that is not acceptable. That is an absolute... No, that's terrible.
Did they include Mordred? I don't remember.
I think Mordred was around too, and he was just like not a sniveling lackey.
Which
was also not, like...
If you're going to swap it around, someone else has to be the sniveling lackey. You could do that. But.
To be fair, this was a little bit before people were allowed to upload those cartoons to YouTube. So this was at a time when there was very little reference material to actually...
Yeah, it might have been just the show Bible or something.
Make anything. Yeah, they were probably going off some, like, real basic stuff and probably didn't care a lot about it because they assumed that no one had watched the old cartoons recently because they weren't available except for a DVD release from the UK in 2004. So yeah, that was around that time Hasbro decided that they were going to do this big push for all their different media, and one of those things was going to be a Micronauts movie. And to go along with that Micronauts movie, they were going to have a Micronauts cartoon series. And this is around the time they had Boulder Media, who we know as the people who did RID 2015. They did Rescue Bots. They did Bot Bots. I think they did at least some of the pony stuff, the My Little Pony. I don't know if they were on for the beginning of Friendship is Magic. I'd have to look that up.
Oh, yeah. Boulder Media was involved. I don't remember.
But, so, yes, they had an entire 52-episode series lined up. I don't know if this was the dying days of The Hub or whether this was something they were going to put on Netflix, but they got an entire, it was going to be 52 episode order split into two 26 episode seasons. And it was announced and then nobody heard about it until a couple years ago. Eric Rogers, who is the executive producer and story editor on the series, he was having a day of it on social media, and he announced to the world that the series had actually been completed and he would really like someone at Hasbro or Boulder Media or somewhere to tell him what closet it had been stuffed into so he could have some closure as to that entire chapter of his professional life.
Yeah, okay, that part was crazy when we found out it was completed.
It
like,
was
we assumed
voice acted.
Like, scripts were done, and maybe they'd started episodes, but no, fully voice acted, fully animated, fully soundtracked.
Yeah, that's...
It's a show.
Nobody realized that it was actually, like, completed, that it had gotten past the, like, you know, early production stage. And he mentioned that it had, like, you know, A-list voice cast, like, it was done, and it was good, and he would really like to know what happened to it.
Yeah, it's weird, because, like, most of the time when you hear about a show that, like, was started, and we never hear about it again, and it was canned, like, you may get a pilot, maybe there was, like, the first three episodes were started, and the soundtrack was never slapped in, but this is...
There's some, maybe some animatics out there somewhere. Yeah, this was...
Yeah, oh, yeah, like, the...
Fully
the,
completed.
That, like... The last season of Clone Wars was like that. Like, they'd done the scripts and there were animatics and that was it. They eventually went back and finished it.
So, yeah, as it turns out, and presumably the how the sausage is made seems to be that Daryl Dupree was the big force behind it and he was no longer at Hasbro by the time this was finished. So the executives that were really pushing the whole revolution thing were no longer at Hasbro, and the people who were there didn't care. So yeah, a couple weeks ago, our friend Adam Paulus mentioned in a Discord chat that we're in that the entire series had just been dropped out of nowhere onto archive.org. And I was at work at the time and not able to download 73 gigabytes of cartoons, so I was just tensely hoping that it was still going to be available when I got home.
Because I saw it during, I forget when it was, but all I saw was like that it came out, and it's like, oh, I went to check. It's like, that sounds crazy that it's all up there. And I started playing an episode, it's like, oh shit, it is all up there. What the hell?
Yeah.
And then you were panicked. It's like, please let me get home before it's done. It's
gone. I was so worried that it was going to get taken down before I could get it all downloaded. And
before you could archive it.
Yeah, before I could get it archived. Because there were several people after that who were like, oh, I only got a couple episodes in before it came down. It was up for about 2 days, and then it was gone.
Which is shocking.
Yeah, which is honestly...
However... However, that just means that was on the site, but it had, like, the various files. You could watch it on there, you could direct download it, or the oldie classic torrent.
Yes. And I made a point, I put it in a share folder on Proton Drive, and I was handing it out, and I made a point to include the torrent seed file from the original archive.org listing, so that people could continue seeding it. But, a few days ago, about a little under 2 weeks after it had first gone up, it occurred to me, I had been assuming that it would not be allowed to be uploaded to YouTube.
Oh, yeah, that sounds crazy. Why would you be able to upload this show that never came out to YouTube?
I have sort of messed around with these things. When I first tried to upload Inhumanoids, Hasbro just outright blocked it from going up. And then a month or so later, someone at Hasbro went in and changed that to allow it to be uploaded with a copyright claim that prevented monetization, which is the episodes of Inhumanoids as you can currently find them on YouTube.
Uploaded on Iacon Underground.
Which is on the Iacon Underground YouTube channel, which I personally like because I don't like sitting through ads on YouTube. Just means that people watching them don't have to sit through ads.
Yeah, and we don't need the money from it. That's not the point. The point is to archive it so people can watch them.
Yes. So I checked on YouTube, and a vlogger channel that does toy stuff had uploaded the first two episodes just as a, like, oh, hey, look at this. And it was still up. And it hadn't been taken down, and it didn't have any of the weird shenanigans people do to get around copyright strikes where it was, like, sped up or flipped or anything.
Flipping it or shrinking it or having it at a slight angle.
And it's so...
weird shit you'll normally see on Daily Motion.
And so I said... yeah, because I had been wondering if maybe I should try to just upload it to Daily Motion because I wanted it to get out there because I had started watching it. It's real good. It's very, like, Robots in Disguise 2015 in tone. So if you're expecting it to be, like, a very dramatic but ultimately depressing Bill Mantlow homage, that's not really what you're going to get here.
No, but Robots in Disguise 2015, like, is still a fun show.
Yeah. And
this being like that, like, yeah, it's fine. Perfectly good. Cartoon.
So I really wanted more people to see it. I wanted people to understand what I meant when I said that Arliss Dunn is Shattered Glass Dave from BotBots. Because there's a character who shows up that definitely feels like Shattered Glass Dave from BotBots. So I started uploading it and I got the same copyright wording that I got when I had tried to upload later episodes of Inhumanoids, where it says, like, copyrighted material has been found. Actually, now I'm gonna
get the wording.
Go find real quick. Okay, the exact wording is... let me get this bigger because my eyesight's not great. Copyright protected content found. The owner allows the content to be used on YouTube. The thing about that is that that is not passive.
No, that means that's intentional.
That means that Hasbro has acknowledged it and allows it to be used on YouTube, which almost kind of makes me wonder. I mean, of course, the leak would have had to be an inside job to some extent. Mm-hmm. Even Eric Rogers was saying the only episodes he had were watermarked.
Yeah, and these aren't.
But it does kind of feel like they internally have decided that they're never going to use it.
Yeah, they're not going to use it, so they don't mind if someone uploads it.
And for
YouTube
some...
that it's...
yeah, for some reason... they cannot officially upload it themselves.
Yeah, but, which, like, something in the system is weird that they can't just put it out. It's weird.
I mean, they don't own Boulder Media anymore, but they certainly do have the other... I mean, if maybe it was a tax write-off.
When did Boulder Media leave Hasbro?
It was fairly recently. It was just a few years ago.
Just a couple years ago. Then it's still.
But they've. I mean, they have uploaded other things from them, but that may be stuff that it was in the contract that they could.
Well,
you know.
Well, yeah, Transformers. They're going to renew that.
So it does seem like there is some, whether it was because they did it as a tax write-off, and so therefore they cannot make any money off of it, or some other legal hang-up. Somebody put it out there, so, and told YouTube, yeah, if anybody uploads this to YouTube. So it's like a workaround. They can't upload it to YouTube themselves, but they can put it out there and let someone else.
They can let somebody else do
it. So that someone else has been me.
That someone else. Yes.
So if you go to the Iacon Underground.
The first season's up there so far?
I have the first season up, the first 26 episodes. I have watched to 24 myself, so I'm getting there. It's real fun. It's got, you know, the cast. Like I said, they can't use exactly the same characters as the Marvel series. But you've got Sean Astin as a Croyer Pelham, who is the main character. Sean Astin, he's been doing a bit of voice stuff, I know, in Ninja Turtles lately. But he is Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings. You have Mae Whitman as Penelope. She does a lot. She was Amity in The Owl House. But she does a lot of voice stuff. You have Kevin Michael Richardson as Oberon, who is great. He sounds like Kevin Michael Richardson. He sounds like Bulkhead. You have Danny Pudi, which took me a second because I was like, wait, who does that sound like? Oh, it's Earthspark Bumblebee. As Zant, who is kind of the bug character here, but he is a diplomat.
His name is Zant. They named him after a bug by way of the Zanty Misfits from Outer Limits.
Yes, he is Zant.
Which are ant aliens.
And there is Quintilis. Actually, let me double check here. I think she's Carrie Walgren. Carrie Walgren is in this.
Well,
Carrie Walgren
is like two people in there, I think.
Yeah.
At least.
She is. I love her. I love Quintilis. She is amazing. She is the time traveler. She can create portals, except she's having some issues. She got, like, messed up in the head early in the series, and she's just very silly now. And you have Biotron, who does not speak at first, but spoilers, when he finally gets his voice, it's Maurice LaMarche. And then you have Clancy Brown as Baron Karza, being extremely Clancy Brown. He's amazing. And then you have Susan Silo, speaking of Inhumanoids. She was in a bunch of Inhumanoids, but she is playing another weird little henchman, Gamatron, who's one of Baron Karza's robots. If you are familiar with Biker Mice from Mars, she played Dr. Carbuncle, another weird little hench guy. And it's a very similar voice to that, very similar vibe to that. And Dante Basco is Cameron, because we have to have a human friend. He is a little older than Russell Clay. He's like freshman in high school age, but he is that same sort of, like, they just moved from out of town. His mother is a single mother who just got a job at a mysterious scientific corporation that may or may not be a significant part of the meta plot. So he's kind of an outsider, but he is also, you know, this, like, techie kid who likes building stuff. And then he ends up with a friend named Andy, as in Girl Andy, and that is Denisha McKellar, who we saw in Rescue Bots. So yeah, good voice cast. It's just, and it's all just, it's done. It's all out there, and it's an actual finished series, and now all of these people can acknowledge it was a thing that they worked on, because they couldn't before because of NDAs, and it was just a whole thing.
And now we can get people asking them at cons about it because they've seen the show now.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get some fan art and fanfic out of this.
I need fan art. That's like the biggest, because I cannot draw. I can write, but I cannot draw. So I need to upload these so that other people will draw fan art. That's my big, like, I don't care about any kind of recognition. I just need other people to be unreasonable about this series with me. Because it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
I don't quite love the Baron Karza redesign. Mostly because I love the classic, oh, it's Jeeg painted black.
I suppose.
So I'm just disappointed he looks more like Mecha Skeletor. It's fine. It's just not as cool as black repaint of Jeeg from anime.
It's good. All the characters, there's just great character writing, and everybody's got these backstories, and everybody's got, like, stuff going on, and yeah, it's also, like I said, it's like Robots in Disguise 2015 in tone, in that it's maybe 50% serious, 50% a little funny and a little silly.
And has Hasbro in jokes.
Yes, it does have some Hasbro in jokes that I really enjoyed.
Also, like, the titles are, well, some of them are alliterative, some of them are just silly.
I will note that there is an episode called Rescue Knots. But also there's, I don't want to spoil the other one, but I absolutely just, like, fucking lost it, man. It was...
Yeah, you showed me that. It's like, wait, what? I mean, okay, it makes sense, but wait, what?
Yes. Baron Karza is lecturing his new human ally about watching too much TV, and I will just leave it at that. You'll see it when you see it. So yeah, I think that's it for this. We can go ahead and wrap up, because my voice is not great either, because by my own hubris, I was making a fire in the new fire pit last night, and...
Yeah, no, that was a bad idea.
And
Monster Dom has started, and we need to go watch that.
Delicious, delicious yard smoke. All right.
Yay.
But so that is it for this time. Maybe next time we'll have more news, or maybe next time...
Well, next time at the end of August, or no, maybe the beginning of the next September.
And maybe we'll talk about comics next time. We'll get caught up on Skybound.
Oh, yeah, we need to get back to the comics. Yes.
I'm telling you, I posted on Blue Sky. I was like, this is how I'm feeling about Skybound lately. There's a picture of Slingshot all beat up, and then that Michael Jordan meme with, and I took that personally. So, but we'll get caught up.
Yeah.
All right, so that is it for this month. Well, for this half of the month. You can find us on Blue Sky and on Mastodon. I am Trickster with an X at both of those. And then we have an account set up for the podcast at Iacon Underground on both of those. And then David, yours?
Strange 4 on Mastodon and Blue Sky and screw Twitter.
Yeah. All right, so that is it for this time. We will see y'all later. Good night. Go watch Micronauts.
Bye. Micronauts, go. on record. I do not want to miss a Godzilla movie.
Oh, are we doing Godzilla this week?
Yes,
I absolutely missed out on all of everything going on. Yeah.
Yeah, I the beginning of this week was a blur. What is it? What the fuck is it called? It's the weird one. Which is honestly one of the best ones. Because it's fucking weird.
I'm just going to go to the live feed that one guy does and just be like, whatever we have chosen this week, just injected into my eyeballs.
Oh. Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, giant monsters all out attack.
Oh, isn't that one of the, like, kind of newer-ish?
Yes.
Okay.
This
is one of, it's one of the...
There's the old Showa, there was the Heisei, this was the Millennium era when it was just random, unconnected movies.
So this is from when the time when it's gonna make me want to buy a mini-disc player.
Kinda.
Because it's, you know, owned by Sony and they insert all their own stuff in it.
Mm.
So you see things like mini disc players and like very specific Sony portable computer devices and
something like that.
Stuff that weirdos like me enjoy.
This is the one that everyone will fall in love with.
Okay. We're gonna do an episode.
Yes. Gow! Gow!
I have a cat. Gow! Ooh, I do like gow.
Yes, watch the video.
I ordered Super Robot Wars 30, speaking of things with gows in them.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a different
I downloaded
kind of gow.
The demo for Y. I should probably pre-order it. I just don't know if I want the more expensive one. Well, I definitely don't want the most expensive one because I don't need the soundtrack.
So is that getting a proper U.S. release?
Yes, on Steam, Switch, and PS5.
Okay, because 30 you have to import, but it does have an English.
Yeah.
It does have English.
Well, 30 is on Steam, I think.
Is it?
I think so.
Maybe it's just the Switch version that you have to, like... Because there's a whole thing with the Switch version where you had to, like, sign up for a Japanese eShop account.
Oh, to download it. Yeah, there was funky shit to download it, but I think you could just buy the damn thing, I think. Yeah, because you had to import, like, the Asian version or something, but it plays fine. It doesn't do anything weird.
Yes.
It's just getting to download crap is weird hoops.
I am getting the import version. So, okay, we're going to do a podcast now. Ready?
Well,
are you ready?
I'm typing.
Maybe. Oh, okay.
Are
you typing anything that I need to see, or are you just typing?
The video I posted.
Oh. Oh, okay. Oh, it's got Baragon.
Uh-huh.
Things are always good when they have Baragon in them.
It sucks that Baragon isn't actually in the title and is the most important character because she's so adorable.
Aw, that's sad. Just not appreciated. Not being properly appreciated. Alright, ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Still not ready to go? When will you be ready to go?
I posted. There we go. I wanted to get this thing. All right, we are ready to go. Oh,
okay.
We already started recording, right? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we just had gibberish. Sorry.
Ready?
Yes.
All right.